chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm delighted to have Francesca Luthi on the show today. Francesca is an executive vice president and chief administrative officer at Assurant. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Francesca, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I'm so delighted to have you on the show today.
No, well, thank you. And I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for making the time. And we have to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Joe Sinkowski, who highly recommended that the two of us meet. I had no idea at the time, Francesca, like the common threads with our stories. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But, you know, isn't that so funny when somebody says, hey, you really need to know this person, and you just trust that person, right? But then when you and I started talking, I'm like, wow, we have got a lot of common threads. One of the things is you're currently living in Salt Lake City or Park City, Utah, and you moved there from New York. You know, you live there with your husband, and I think you've got two twin boys, right, that are 12, sixth grade. We're going to talk about them a little bit. But you moved from New York, and, you know, there's a lot of outdoor adventures available there. And I told you that our son Jordan has lived there now for, I guess it's now 3.5 months, but he absolutely loves it and loves the rock climbing and the snowboarding and all of that. You said that's one of the reasons that you guys picked it, is so that you guys would have those opportunities.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was a lot of things that led up to that decision. But certainly one of my boys had had some pretty extensive surgery that year. And we were looking at how to best support him from a post-op perspective. And as we were doing research, we found obviously that the state of Utah and Salt Lake in particular had great hospital care, pediatric care, but also really provided the environment where he could do his physical therapy in the outdoors. And also we found a fantastic organization called the National Ability Center that enabled him to rock climb, ski, bike, horseback ride, go rafting, and really take advantage of all the beautiful things that the state has to offer. So we went from a very small apartment in the heart of New York City to living in this beautiful playground with lots of care and support. So it's been a real win-win for us.
Yeah, very good. Well, you and I certainly have that in common. We're going to talk about your son more with CP because we have a daughter with Down syndrome. That's definitely been part of our story and a journey that we continue to explore. And you know, it's opened up all sorts of interesting people to us and experiences. And I know that you consider your son a blessing, just like we do, Allie. But I know that you're not originally from the States. You're originally from Switzerland.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was thinking about the mountain ranges in Utah. It's probably not quite to the extent of the Alps, but, you know, you grew up with those mountains. Tell our listeners a little bit about growing up in Switzerland and, Yeah, I know you've traveled all over the world, Francesca. I don't know. I think you speak fluently in two or three languages and you're proficient in a couple other ones. Tell us a little bit about growing up, and then what was the impetus for you traveling all over the world like you have?
So yes, I was born in Lugano, Switzerland. And Lugano is a very small town in the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland. And it's very much Lake Country. So if for those of you that are familiar with Lake Como in Italy, it is very similar in terms of just the topography. But living in Lugano gave me access to explore a lot of the outdoors and just the beauty of nature. And certainly we traveled a lot as a family because of my father's job. As you said, I do speak multiple languages. I think that goes with the territory and having a Swiss passport. And at the age of 10, we left Switzerland. We moved around a bit and then ended up in New York. So it was very much going from a very small town to a very big city. So experienced a lot of different cultures, really enjoyed everything it had to offer. But that shaped a lot of my own perspective about how I want to raise my children, the importance of culture and really appreciating all those nuances. And also that's bled into, of course, my professional life. I've worked in Europe. I've worked in the U.S. I've had different roles and experiences, but it was a really formative part of my background, just where I was born and the ability to travel in many different areas.
Yeah. Isn't that so interesting, Francesca, as you were talking, because, and we'll get into this, but you know, you're the CAO for a global organization today. And I'm just thinking that experience of moving around and experiencing different cultures, probably really all the things that you've done, and you've done a lot of different things, really prepared you for what you're doing today. And I think, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? We can connect those dots and understand how that thread plays into whatever it is that we're doing today. And we're going to talk about that. But I know that you got your master's from, or your bachelor's from Georgetown in DC, but you began your career. And I said, you've done, I don't know how many different things you've done. I didn't count up, but you've got such a broad experience. But you started at Morgan Stanley as a financial analyst. You've since worked for a lot of awesome companies, Bearing Point, Accenture, Accretive Health. And now, like I said, you're the EVP CAO for Assurant. Was this by design?
No.
Or a natural progression?
Yeah, I always laugh at that because I think square peg, round hole, nonlinear progression, you name it. People now talk about, you know, career ladders. I certainly went in multiple different directions. But actually what brought me to Georgetown was, again, my just love of culture, history, international affairs. So I was in the School of Foreign Service. And it was a fantastic educational and formative background there too. But then when it came, I had the opportunity actually during my time there to do an internship at the UN. And that actually steered me back into business. I mean, it was a great experience, but I recognized that I wanted to really explore more of the business side of things. And so I'll say I fell into the banking opportunity. It was a wonderful one. I made lots of connections. It certainly gave me a very deep understanding around financials. And in that, I fell in love with a practice called investor relations, which is giving a story to numbers. And that really propelled the rest of my career, gave me a platform then to spend more time in communications more broadly. So not just financial communications, but thinking about public relations and internal communications. That led to marketing and branding. And across, as my career and my roles evolved and my responsibilities expanded, it's always been a thread around, you know, just driving change and really thinking about who are we serving and what do the stakeholder needs. You know, starting again first from the investors, right, and investor relations, and thinking about how do you help investors make a really good decision and make sure that obviously that for whatever company you're working for, you're really driving that fair value. And then communications. I mean, how do you engage, obviously, either your prospective clients, your employees, understanding, you know, what you're trying to do as a company or in the direction. And same thing with marketing at the end of the day. So there's always been a thread around connection, right, to those audiences. And I've always been very attracted to companies that are facing change. So that's probably the other thread. And it does, again, tie back to my own upbringing, the travel, you know, and exposure to different environments, because I have worked in multiple different industries. And again, from the very start, certainly around either, I'll say, disruptive threats. So how do you respond to challenges, to also hyper growth? And how do you help support right organizations adapt to that. Most recently, of course, we've all navigated COVID. We're now dealing with unprecedented economic changes or challenges. So I always think about that in the context of who am I here to serve and those stakeholders. But again, I kind of like lots of things that are in change and really trying to apply those different experiences, those skills to help companies drive to their outcomes and objectives.
Yeah. You know, I think I remembered you. You know, you're the CAO now at Assurant. And Assurant, for our listeners that don't know, is a global organization, about 16,000 employees, I think, last count I saw. Number 325 on the Fortune 500 list. Maybe you guys have moved up a point or two. I'm not sure. You're responsible for so much, Francesca. You're responsible for global HR, real estate, brand and marketing, communications, corporate social responsibility, investor relations, global sourcing. I mean, it's a big job. But if you had not done all of those things, Francesca, along the way, you would not have been prepared for that role. But I just think sometimes you've got a friend, Bev Kay, that says the way up is not always up. You know, it can be lateral too. And I look at you and I just think, wow, you've not been afraid of the change. You've not been afraid to tackle new challenges. And because of that, it certainly has given you what you need to take on that CAO role.
Today, I think a lot of, or historically rather, a lot of people tend to focus very much on the experience. And I go back to, at the end of the day, it's, you know, what motivates you? What skills do you have? And how do you apply them in different areas? I mean, I have certainly a big mandate, but I also have an exceptional team with a lot of dedicated expertise that I work with and partner. And I always recognize I'm not going to be the subject matter expert on all things, but I know obviously where I can contribute and then obviously enable, right, my team to flourish and grow. So really thinking hard about what does motivate you and that intersection. So as I said before, I like the ability really to think about how do we evolve these functions to drive more value together. And it really came through when I was promoted to the CAO role in 2020 during COVID. Our then CEO recognized that we really do need to think about our people and our workplace very differently. Because someone asked, you know, why real estate and why HR and why marketing? And at the end of the day, we have to serve our employees very much like our customers. We have to think about the environment in which they work in very much like we do across any of our other facilities and bring that differential attention. So again, it really did connect for me the opportunity, obviously, to think across those silos and bring these teams together, problem solve certain things. And that I found was really energizing. You know, it's not for everybody, certainly, but I do like the breadth because, again, it enables you, obviously, to see the connection points much more. And then also, you know, stretch and give opportunities to your team that they would have otherwise not had. I mean, I'm not a classically trained HR leader, but I have other experiences that I can certainly bring to the table. And so that's been, you know, very energizing, certainly for me and the rest of the team. And I would certainly encourage others to think about that as well. Because especially in today's world, as the more and more obviously you progress in your career, those are the things that are going to matter, certainly, right? Is how you respond to change, how you're able to mobilize teams, how you're able to see those connections. And sometimes, again, when we kind of stay in our lane, we lose that perspective.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I wrote down, it was funny, the very first time that you and I met, because you've made lots of changes in the HR realm and talent attraction, and we'll talk about some of those. But, you know, you said to me the very first time we met, you go, I've been changing the wheels on the bus while driving the bus. And I just thought that was so good. I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, that's what we're doing, right? The bus is not standing still. The bus is still going. And you have to continue to keep the business going, but you got to make those changes while you're going. So, Francesca, I know that you haven't done all these things for the accolades. But just for our listeners, you guys have done a lot. I mean, you guys have won so many tons of awards. Great place to work. You're certified in 12 countries for that, which is phenomenal. One of America's best large employers in 22, best employers for diversity by Forbes in 2021. But I know that you have not done all of this for the accolades, but it just is kind of proof in the pudding that what you guys have been doing and the changes that you're making are making a difference, you know, obviously.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm obviously exceptionally proud of that recognition, but I think it's more of a testament, obviously, to the expanded team. And I think the culture that we're trying to drive and sustain at Assurant. And, you know, again, that's why I don't ever take that lightly. And it goes back to the first question you asked me. I mean, it was really, again, that appreciation. You need to have diverse perspectives. You need to have a good pulse on, you know, what your customers need. All of this I do see as integrally very tied to our ability to be successful longer term. And, you know, our employees obviously speak. All those are products of surveys. And again, obviously, we can't take that for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got so much more to talk about. I want to get into DEI. I want to talk about a lot of other things, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Francesca Luthi.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Francesca Luthi. So Francesca, there may be a few listeners out there that are not familiar with Assurant. We've already talked about this being this global organization. You've already talked about the culture that you're building there and all these awards. There may be somebody out there that says, hey, that's the type of company I want to work for. Can you tell our listeners a little bit just about Assurant and what you guys do, mission, vision, values, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not surprised. And I always go back to, right, where in many cases, we are the brand behind the brand of many of the companies that you admire or have purchased goods for. So what we do is we provide business services, which is largely in the form of, you know, protection or related services to many of the world's leading brands, including T-Mobile, including many of our banks, warranties, et cetera. So as an example, if you have a mobile phone protection plan, it may be something that we provide those services on behalf of T-Mobile, or maybe you have some renter's insurance coverage. If you look at your policy, we may in fact be the company that provides that coverage. Also in terms of brown and white goods, your washer and dryer breaks down, we may be the company again that will help you repair and obviously fix that washer and dryer to make sure that your life runs smoothly. So we play in, again, many different areas, whether it's mobile, auto, home, and then obviously also in the renter space as well. And as you said before, we have a presence in 21 countries. We have about 16,000 employees. So we are large, we're growing, we are hiring. Please, if there's an interest, reach out. But I think a lot of this also back to where we started earlier, we do have a purpose, which is really our mission as an organization to help people thrive in the connected world. And by that, we mean, obviously, if you think about, you know, your phone, many of us, it's our life's operating system. It keeps us connected. It helps us do work. It helps us pay bills. It helps us, you know, sometimes even control our home and making sure everything is okay. And so, again, really the complexity around it, and sometimes even our cars, right, are becoming computers in many different ways. So we want to make sure that obviously all of our customers, the many consumers that we serve, are able to get the most benefit out of those products and not have any concerns around, you know, disruption. And I think this played itself to the max if you think about during COVID, where we were all isolated. And I recall at that point in time, even as we were getting some phones in our repair depots, and we were getting customer letters saying, thank you so much for helping me either retrieve the information or stay connected, because, you know, we are so isolated right now that that becomes really my connection back into the world. And that's one example, certainly, but it was a particularly poignant one as we think about just, you know, obviously the environment that we were all operating in. We always talk about our values too as a critical component of how we live true and how we're able to deliver on that mission. And they've been there for many, many decades. It's common decency, common sense, uncommon thinking, and uncommon results. And I think about, you know, certainly the most important to me is common decency. Treat others with empathy and respect, how you would be treated. that goes to our people, our customers, any other stakeholders that we deal with. Common sense, the world is complex. Sometimes we have to boil it down to the essentials and making sure, obviously, that we are kind of keeping things simple because, again, otherwise we can get lost in the weeds. Uncommon thinking, just the spark of that innovation and just new ideas and challenging ourselves, because that ultimately helps us deliver those uncommon results, again, for all the stakeholders that we serve. And we often, right, talk a lot about this in terms of our commitment to our purpose or our mission, how we do it through our values, because at the end of the day, that's the environment that we want to continue to lead by example and foster.
Yeah, those are great values. I love that. Easy to remember too, you know, Francesca, the uncommon and the common.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I know that DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is very personal to you. You know, we've talked a little bit about this, but, you know, obviously there's studies out there that say that there's many reasons to focus on this for organizations. But tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, your son and why this is so important and what kinds of things are you guys doing to at Assurant to ensure that this is a not just a diverse environment, but one where people actually feel like they belong.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I mean, diversity, equity, inclusion is deeply personal. And I think about my own journey with Nicholas, my son, who has cerebral palsy. You know, it went from one day to the next, life changed, as many have experienced. But, you know, I recall I was sharing a story when he had his surgery. We were living in New York and he was in a wheelchair for a few months. And I remember just how, you know, obviously I had to navigate the subway system, understanding, right, where there were elevators. I've never looked at a set of stairs the same way, in part because I had to plan. I had the disappointment of when elevators weren't working. I had to figure out how to haul, obviously, his wheelchair up and down stairs on my own. And again, if you don't experience it firsthand or have a close loved one or close friend, it's not that we don't care, but we don't have the same perception of that challenge. And at the same time, we don't have the same perception of what's added. And I think about that in the context of back to point where when he progressed out of the wheelchair and we started seeing the benefits, obviously, of the surgery and those small wins and appreciating those small victories and those moments and those smiles and just the happiness. Again, it helps you appreciate a lot of the smaller wins, right? Which again, sometimes we can kind of get stuck in our routine and not really reflect upon that. But that experience, of course, in motherhood, it's not over. It's going to be with me for the rest of my life, really has brought it, as I think about it, obviously my role now as responsible, not just for our human resources function, but also for our DEI efforts in terms of really starting first and foremost with understanding. And we've done a lot of work internally, really around, you know, courageous conversations and having people share their experiences from various different angles. And I think, again, because if you don't put yourself in someone else's shoes or at least understand how they may be perceiving, we may look at something and it's, yes, the sun is yellow and it's bright and it's warm, but not everybody may perceive it that way. You need to at least have those conversations first and foremost. And then we've done a fair amount also in terms of just training and mentoring and other things, right? Because back to your point, understanding is step number one. Then how do you bring it in practice? And to your point, it's very much about creating an environment that supports different points of view, different ideas, critically important in a very polarized world that we all live in. That, you know, sometimes, again, we just have to be accepting. And I'm not saying everybody has to agree or have the same point of view, but we at least have to acknowledge there will be different points of view and perspectives on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you've already talked about it. You guys have done a lot of work at Assurant. In fact, you won an award for the diversity that you guys have really fostered there at Assurant. But talk specifically, Francesca, about the STARS program. And is that an acronym for something?
No, it's not. And I have to say the brainchild was a leader on our team, but it was really to support hiring of neurodiverse individuals into our repair depots. And we started it off as an initial pilot. But again, here it was just an opportunity, obviously, to tap into a very large workforce pool and providing right an environment that would be conducive, obviously, for the work at hand. And again, you know, expand our opportunity and labor market when in a time when we all can benefit from that. And it's been a good learning, right? It's been a good learning for our teams, certainly in Louisville, because obviously, as you're working with people of diverse needs, you need to be sensitive and understanding, right, around what does that mean? But they found it equally enriching. And so it was a win-win across the board, because it continues, again, to reinforce that we all can contribute in many different ways. And also, right, it gives, again, an enhanced perspective. And it's been quite a big success. And we're trying to scale it, obviously, more, because build from strength to strength.
Yeah. What does it look like exactly? I think I read where you are sometimes pairing the person with almost like a mentor, if you will, or kind of a job coach, you know, until they get more competent or, you know, confident in what it is that they're doing.
Yeah, right. And I would say it's not any different than it would be from a training program, an onboarding and training program. It is just obviously, as with any new employee, and a lot of the work is very technical and manual. So again, we obviously have different resources or additional resources available to make sure that it is a smooth onboarding process, an ability to ask questions, making sure obviously that we have the appropriate equipment to meet those needs. But in many cases, right, companies always are, sometimes you hear, right, just the concern around, well, what does that mean? And the additional training or the equipment, it's not really any different than obviously the training and onboarding that would happen for anybody else. At the end of the day, we all have experiences with employees that are wildly successful from day one and others that need, you know, more support and assistance to really reach their ultimate potential. So I've always said, right, this is, we're trying to create the environment to sustain that over time. And we've seen the results pay itself out, right, in the sense that there is no difference. I mean, the productivity, the results are equally as strong. And again, those coaches, as you reference them, gain a lot from that whole experience. You are contributing to your community, and not just at Assurant, but obviously in your local market to, again, expand that pool and provide a great opportunity for someone who may not have otherwise had that chance.
Yeah, I love it. There's so much there that we could go on and unpack, but, you know, it might inspire one of our listeners to say, hey, you know, we could do something similar to that. But to your point, you know, there's probably patience, there's understanding, there's thinking out of the box. You may have to train a little bit differently. Definitely maybe have some patience. It may take a little bit longer, but again, there's dignity in our work. And I know for our daughter, Allie, she takes all of her jobs very seriously. You will not find somebody more dedicated or detail oriented. She wants to do a good job. It gives her joy and a lot of dignity to do a job well done.
Yeah. And I mean, to put a plug in for, there are many different nonprofit organizations. I mean, I think about like Disability In that helps and is available, right, to potential employers to think about, again, what would it take to stand up a program? What do we need to think about in terms of training and other considerations around, you know, specific equipment and the rest? So there's so many resources out there that can actually make this easier for employees and employers. And again, I go back to, in a market where labor is tight, there is an economic, social advantage to doing this. So I think it's just a question of having, obviously, I recognize the time to explore. And obviously, you know, I think the quick win is, I mean, we started this off as a pilot as well, because we wanted to understand what it would take. And of course, our commitment is we do something, we go all in, right, to be able to scale. But it is certainly, there are a lot of resources available for companies to be successful.
Yeah. You've been such a big advocate. You actually, and I think you had alluded to it earlier, you sit on the board for the National Ability Center, and that is there in Utah, right? Tell me the mission, the vision of that organization, and what impact do you think that that has had on how people view people with disabilities?
Oh, it's tremendous. Their mission is to help build an adaptive nation. And it's really to provide access to outdoor recreation for people of all abilities. And they've, of course, as I said before, they offer many different programs, activities for, you know, individuals, for their families. Recently, this past summer, we participated in one of their events called the Summit Challenge. And it is a biking tour. The distances are humbling. So it's like 16, 25, 50 miles. I mean, this is Park City in Utah, right? So you're going uphill most of the time. And there you saw, we had blind riders. I mean, you had paraplegics. There were vets. I mean, it was just such a diverse group. Again, really spanning all abilities. I rode with my family as well. And it, again, it brings communities together. And I think we focus so much on what we can't do. Their mission is to focus on what we all can do. And it's also about that holistic support. So oftentimes, again, the family is so important because so much, right, as we all know, as caregivers, is that, yes, you have an individual that's impacted, but the family is also living that same experience and also needs that support. So that is also where I've gotten so much myself out of it, not just as a board member in terms of supporting them and bringing some expertise to the table, but also as a participant with my son and my family, because again, these are all things we can do together. And it's never about setting limitations. So, and they have equipment available too, and we'll help through scholarships again, if there's economic needs as well. So they've been very focused on that. And increasingly, back to my point around education, they've gotten more involved with other institutions, also corporates, to continue, right, to educate on all things related to diversity, equity, inclusion, everything from words. I mean, sometimes, again, right back to the point around polarizing, we don't know, you know, what are the appropriate words, the disabilities, handicap. They help, again, they help with that education, which I think is, again, step number one.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I know you did that about 3 months ago with your family.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
I bet your son just loved it, doing it as a family.
Oh, no, he did. He did. Oh, we all did. We have all these pictures. And at some point, we're like, oh, 60 miles. And I mean, when we finally made it, I think we could barely sit down. So it was grueling.
There's a lot of mountain ranges in Utah. Well, before we move on to something extra, you know, I want to ask you, Francesca, like, you've obviously had an illustrious career. You sit in the C-suite of a global Fortune 500 company. You know, what advice would you give your younger self? Because there may be listeners that, you know, aspire to sit in the C-suite someday. But, you know, what would you tell them? What advice would you give to the younger Francesca?
And I've said this before, but be your best you and don't try to fit a mold. I've certainly had that instinct, again, because of the different experiences that I've had. But sometimes, you know, you can second guess yourself, or you can try to conform because it's easier. And I think that minimizes ultimately your impact and your ability to be the best you. So that's definitely some of the things I always think about is, where did I maybe take an easier out and kind of conform, as opposed to maybe dare to be bolder and be myself, right?
Why be a carbon copy? You know, you're uniquely you, and be you, and just, you know, don't try to compete with anyone else. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Just focus every day on being a better version of you, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I think about that in the context of that other question you asked around just career progression, right? Because I also think about in that context around sometimes we're so focused on, you know, that vertical, right? That vertical ladder. And well, look at so-and-so, right? I could aspire to that. And I think we tend to undersell our potential there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, Francesca, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I will tie it back to perspective. I think that is an enabler of empathetic leadership, which we all need. Again, having perspective to understand the experiences, the backgrounds that people bring. I think it enables inclusion, but I also think that perspective also builds resiliency. And that's something, you know, we've been talking a lot about over the last several years, again, with the pandemic, with the economy, and thinking through, right, just having perspective of cycles and the ability, right, to stay calm under stress. And I've seen that play itself out. And when we reflect back on, again, that perspective, I think it is an advantage. It makes you a better leader. It makes you able to have clarity of conviction. And that to me has been definitely something that I've tried to remind myself that that is a core source of strength. And certainly with my team, continue to say, we have to lead with that, because again, it will make us, you know, stronger as individuals, as leaders, and as ultimately as a company.
Yeah, very good. Well, Francesca, this has been so delightful for me. I so appreciate you making the time. This was fun.
No, I agree. And I want to meet you in person because I know we have, of course, that common connection, but it'd be great to be able to meet in person. And I really appreciate the time. And who knows, our sons may bring us together then. We'll do some climbing.
Very well. Well, thank you so much again. Enjoy the rest of your day, Francesca.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.